I am particularly pleased to introduce to you right now David Levine, who is the owner of D.H. Levine & Associates, a tax and estate planning and consultancy firm. Accountants as well, David?
Accountants as well, yeah.
Okay, so there you go. You're going to talk to us about the absolute vital importance of estate planning and having a will. First, tell me about your firm. How long have you been around? How long have you been at this game?
Been in business for over 30 years.
That's good. Then we can take it. We
have some legs. We have some foundations. We're a general practice, offers estate planning, administration of estates, accounting work. We help the small clients through hopefully the hard times and getting started. Our idea is there to be with our clients through thick and thin.
Let's talk estates. I've recently had the experience of having to draft a will. It's quite a confronting process. It's kind of difficult to come to terms with the fact that, sure, I need one.
You do. And the worst question we get asked is, please do me a simple will. There is no such thing as a simple will. And when we start to address the issues that anybody can have when drawing up a will, and they have to think of things long term, not just short term. So you've got to take into account, a will has to be a balanced document that will deal with the normal fluctuations in life, but then every so often it needs to be reviewed, especially when there are major changes in your life.
Sure, that makes a whole bunch of sense. Let's just jump back a step. Like, why? Why bother with the will? If I die, I die intestate. What's the problem? Isn't it going to go exactly to where I want it to go?
No, it won't. If you die intestate, you have no control over who you want to administer your affairs. Okay. And your assets are split in a legally defined manner. You have no say as to what your spouse gets, what your children get. If you have a disabled child, you don't have the ability to put any of your estate into trust to be managed on behalf of that child. You've got to look at your will and your estate. Your will is a legacy, and how you're going to leave that legacy to your surviving spouse, surviving partner in this day and age.
Sure.
Okay. And children. And how they will deal with those assets in the future. You know, maybe you've got a child who's in a bad marriage. You don't want the bad spouse.
Sure,
to get
no,
things.
And this is what I'm saying. If you've been through the process, it's quite confronting because you really need to apply your mind as to it's not nearly as simple as one thinks.
It isn't.
That it is. In South Africa, there's a notion, this is now my Roman Dutch law coming back to me from 30 years ago, freedom of testation.
Right.
To what extent can you, I don't know, disinherit a difficult kid? Or
you can do that if you have a will. Okay.
And that wouldn't be challenged.
And that wouldn't be challenged. It could be challenged. Listen, any will could be challenged. We had an interesting case recently. It's actually the first time we've come across it in the office.
Yeah.
Where a will was brought to us. And we were going through the process. The documents had already been submitted to the master's office. And then somebody crawled out from the woodwork and said, hey, I have a call against that. That is not, here's another will. So we have two wills purportedly from the same deceased.
Wow, that is interesting. That really is interesting. That also goes back to the whole South African dynamic of different cultures and different ways of doing things, that maybe in African customary law, there's more than one wife, different ways
That's
of
correct.
Having to look at things than
even
just
within
the
religious community. Okay. If you want to have a halakhically correct will, you need to put that in place. And you can't just die interstate.
Sorry, now you're going into an area that is all new to me. I mean, tell me more, I know nothing about this. Is there halachic aspects to drafting a will?
Not in the norm, but I remember speaking to a rabbi once, and he said he was having an issue drafting his will because it had to be halachically correct.
Wow.
And he was very nervous about crossing a line one way or the other. We didn't pursue it, and I didn't. Okay. I wasn't briefed to draw up the will or to assist with the will. So.
Okay, so now I've drafted my will, and it says everything that I wanted to say. What do I do with it?
You make two original copies. That's always useful to have a copy. One you can keep, and one you give to either your attorney or your accountant, somebody that you trust. From a professional point of view.
Because it just kind of struck me, having done this process, that there's a copy in the study drawer.
Who knows about it?
The easiest thing in the world is that somebody who doesn't like it for whatever reason just comes and tears it up and, well, you died intestate.
Yes. That's why you've got to give it into somebody's hands for safekeeping. And you've got to know who you've given it to, because you might fall out with that attorney or that accountant or that professional friend. And you might need to recover it and give it to somebody else.
And, you know, it's very important what you were saying about changing life conditions, because that's the only thing we know, that just the only constant is change itself. How often do you recommend that one relooks at and revises a will?
I would say probably every 2 to 3 years, unless something major happens in between. You can structure your will to take into account the fact that you're going to have children. And if you word the will correctly, it doesn't matter how many children you have. Okay.
Sure.
But then if you have a disabled child or your spouse becomes disabled, you have to relook at the will and introduce a trust, a will trust, so that the money gets put under the control of a trustee, so that the person receiving it doesn't squander the money and it's used for their well-being.
Only problem with that is that there are massive expenses involved with establishment of trusts and having trustees, et cetera, et cetera. Do you hold the client's hand through that entire process?
The whole process.
Advising on costs, advising on difficulties, all.
As I said to you earlier, we are there to hold the client and help them through thick and thin. All there. Sometimes I think we're psychologists, not just accountants.
Probably would make a whole lot of sense. Given that those who are fortunate probably have an asset or two outside of South African borders, how do you deal with that in a South African will?
They should have disclosed all of those assets to the relevant authorities when those assets were acquired. Those assets would form part of their South African estate. Okay, and then those would all be bundled together. The estate would be valued, it would be realized, and the assets and the value in the estate would be distributed according to the wishes of the deceased in terms of their will. If they haven't disclosed everything to the relevant authorities, then there's an issue.
All right. Maybe we won't go there this afternoon. Okay. That really is an interesting piece of advice. You know, I remember studying law a very long time ago, and it seemed to me that the law of estates was a particularly litigious part of the law. I mean, not only was the requirements of a will so unbelievably stringent that you had to sign so many centimeters from the bottom of the page, and I mean, it's just so ridiculously technical.
It's not necessarily as technical now. You know, there's nobody takes a tape measure and measures where the signature is or anything like that.
No, but anymore. That's important to know, because I thought it was, in the same way as I believe that, I don't know, one of the cases that stick in my mind is of a lady who was illiterate, who couldn't write and had to stamp the will with her thumb. And the question was a stamp a signature for the purposes of the Succession Act? And it's really...
But that is why you can only sign a will in front of witnesses.
Okay. And, no, that makes a whole lot of sense.
And to make things, should we say, more important, to stress the fact that this is the person's last wishes, it would be best if the will was signed by witnesses who would not inherit in terms of the will.
David, because we're kind of running short-ish of time, you mentioned to me, I told you time goes quick in the studio.
It does go quick.
You mentioned just before we went on air that maybe you were quite keen to make an offer to Chai FM listeners. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Over to you.
Okay. Because my practice and the people who work with me we're very passionate about what we do. We'd like to offer three of your listeners the opportunity to bring their wills and come and have a free 1 hour consultation with us to review their will as it stands and make any suggestions that we think would be valid in terms of bringing their will up to date.
Thank you for that super generous offer. More than that, an important offer, I think, could be very important to somebody. The way that you're going to take advantage of that offer is you're going to send us an SMS on 34519 or send us a telegram on 061-895-1019. And the first three that come through, we will have our producer, Senna, contact you and thank you. Thank you
with
so
pleasure.
Much for setting that up.
And then if anybody wants to contact us through our webpage.
Yes, what is
that
it?
Is www, I'm old-fashioned, I say that.
No, we're happy with that.
dhlevine.co.za, and you will see our DNA lifeline that we have there, which says how we can help you through life.
And just before we go, because money is important to everybody these days, costs involved, not to the three who are going to get a free review, but for the rest of us, what kind of money is involved?
For the rest of you, you are looking at approximately 3,000 rand an hour, excluding VAT, for a consultation on this important matter.
And numbers of hours required sort of to draft the will as well?
What I would do is we have variated prices for the people in my estates department, and I would sit in for a portion of the time, and then we would get the will drawn up by the administrator of my deceased department, Beverly, and her rate is substantially lower than mine. So we do try and diminish the cost as much as possible to clients, but there is a lot of experience and brain power that goes into those initial discussions of knowing what the client needs.
Sure. No, this is not a job that you want cheaply. Some things you save money on and some things you just don't. Time has gone 5 o'clock. David Levine, thank you so much for your generous offer. Thank you for coming to studio. And I certainly found that very interesting, and I hope you did too. It's 5 o'clock. It's time for the news.